this word, I started a message last week called Through Faith, Through Faith, and I took that, excuse me, took that title out of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 and 33, and this is how it reads, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." And so I'm taking, you know, we're going through the book of Hebrews, and I've been in Hebrews 11 for quite a while, and bear with me, because we may be there for quite a while longer. But as I think about it, every time I think about that, this book that you hold in your hands, this Bible, this compilation of letters written by 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years, this is the Word of God spoken to you and I. This is the most precious book there is on the planet, because these contain the very words of God. I'm taking us through this, I'm taking the time that I'm taking right now, because I'm feeling in my own spirit that there's something at the very least the Lord wants me to pay attention to, wants me to focus on. And I believe that since I'm the pastor of this church, that if I'm to focus on it, that I believe that to some extent you are too. And what I'm focusing on, if you remember, if you think back over the years, you've heard Hebrews 11 preached on. You've heard it taught out of a number of different times. I have too. And when we hear it taught, we hear of the great faith of these men and women. They did great things, and rightfully so. The focus that I'm hearing, however, is that they did great things because God did something great first. Amen? That's where, because see, you know, when we get into the story of Gideon, we'll get there in a second, but this is something tripped me up in my reading this, in preparation for this particular sermon, and it was this. When the Lord came to Gideon, and remember he had 32,000 people from four tribes who were going to come fight with him. And in Judges chapter 7, this is what the Lord said to Gideon. "You have too many people for me to give the Midianites into the hands of Israel." Now listen now. "You have too many people for me to give the Midianites into the hands of the children of Israel." Then God said this, "Lest after they have had victory, Israel began to boast and say that they did it instead of me," listen, "and take glory away from me." That's what God said. Now, you've heard the scripture quoted before that says God will share his glory with no one. No one. So God told Gideon, "You got too many people. I'm going to cut it down so that when this victory happens, everybody's going to know that it was me." God, that's what God said. So what does that, tells me something about God, right? In other words, he is due what is his, and he's going to have what is his. But it also says something to me, that when God uses me, when God does anything through me, I ought to be careful not to take the glory for myself, right? So when, as I'm going through this book and I'm hearing about all these people that have great faith, they did exercise great faith, but what is being impressed upon my heart is, son, I want you to focus on how they got their faith. I want you to focus on the source of their faith. And you've heard me, I've been quoting this scripture. I misquoted the reference last week. I said it was 2 Corinthians 4:17. Wrong. It's Romans 10:17. okay, which says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I would go through that and say more about that, but it would take more time, so I'm not going to do that. Maybe I'll do that next week. So some of the focus that I'm just watching, because what this does when the Lord tells me is when he's been ministering to me, I am the author and the finisher of your faith. I'm the one who causes the faith in the beginning. This causes me to put my eyes on God in any situation. I'm not talking about only what he does in my life, but if he does something great in your life, if you do something great in God, then it tells me that God has done something great in you first. That's important. Why do I say that? Because man likes to worship man. I'm going to say it again. Man likes to worship man. Man likes to put up images of other people. You see it everywhere. You see it in sports. You see it in politics. You see it, you know, everywhere. It always comes down to the one person. It's not the one team. There's always one who's going to rise up in the midst of the team. Whether it be Destiny's Child or you got three singers, there's always one who's going to break off by themselves and they're going to rise. It could be the Jackson 5, but one named Michael is going to break off by himself. He's going to come up. It could be Congress and it could be the legislative, judicial, and executive branches. But you know who the one we want to focus on? The one where there's one. Everybody wants to be. Nobody wants to be Supreme Court Justice. You don't see people fighting, clamoring over that. But I want to be president. Why? Because there's only one president. When we go and we watch sports, we know it's a team effort, but what do? We always put attention on one player. And in football, the quarterback doesn't get anything done if there's no lineman, if there's no – but what do? We exalt Tom Brady. We exalt – you know, we always exalt one. Why? Man is always doing it. He wants one to worship. He wants one to set his eyes on it. Who can I look to? Who can I look at and go after, you know? And that's just our nature. Well, God says the one that you want to look to is me. I'm the one. And besides me, there is no other. There is no pastor, there is no apostle or prophet, there is none. And Paul even talked about it in 2 Corinthians. He said, I'm telling you this so that you might learn not to think of me more than you ought to. He told the Corinthian church that because they were exalting Apollos, they were exalting Paul, they were exalting, you know, different ones in the body of Christ. Well, let me go on and say this. So as I'm reading this, our text for today, it says, the writer of Hebrews says, what more shall I say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. I thought it was interesting how he said, time would fail me. In other words, the list of examples is so great of these people who had faith that if I were to enumerate all of them, I would run out of time. Reminded me of the scripture when John, the apostle in the Gospel of John, he said this. He said, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Now think about this for a second. There are many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, 3.5 years of ministry, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. This is what John the Apostle said. Now, he's talking about his world, not our world, right? He's talking about in his world, Jesus did so much that all the books in his world at that time could not contain what he did in 3.5 years of ministry. He said it would run out. I couldn't list all that Jesus did. Well, the writer of Hebrews is saying, if I were to list to you all the people that had faith, I would run out because time would fail me. Why? Because there isn't enough time to list them all. And brother, you and I would be in that list. You and I would be in that list. Because as I said to you a couple of weeks ago, everyone in Hebrews chapter 14, God initiated them and God spoke to them, and because God spoke, they had faith. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If God doesn't speak to you, you have nothing upon which to believe him for. Amen? So you understand how that faith comes by hearing? Do you understand then that that makes the voice of God so important? When God speaks, I said a couple weeks ago, when God speaks, I just get all beside myself thinking about when he speaks. Because listen, when God speaks, he spoke and all the worlds were created. He said, let there be light. There it went. He said, let there be a firmament in the heavens. And there it was. He didn't create anything with his hands until it said he formed you and I. But he spoke everything else. Well, you know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When God speaks to you, this is why it's so important. When God speaks to you, something is created in you. This is why we need to hear from God. This is why the writer of Hebrews said that we do very well to listen to him who spoke from heaven. Because of he who spoke from earth, he ministered all the judgments that came when the people didn't listen. Beware lest you reject him who speaks from heaven. When God speaks, things are created. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when the gospel comes to a person, when we go and preach the gospel, when that word is heard, faith then is the gift that is now available to that person to believe. Why? Because God spoke. That gospel is commissioned by God. We are sent by God. We are carrying the word of God. So when we speak the word and a person hears the word, faith is created in them. So when Jesus said to Peter, who do you say that I am? When Jesus said that to him, the Father revealed to Peter at that moment, Peter said, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven, he revealed that to you. So God spoke to Peter, and Peter by faith spoke what God said. So when God speaks, and you say, well, when does he speak? If this is true, when does he speak? He speaks all the time. Yeah. When God speaks, there's not a time when God speaks that something is not created. That's why man is going to be held responsible for what he heard God say. You can't hear God say something and walk away from it without being accountable. Why? Because everything that God speaks, listen, when God speaks, he creates a situation. When God speaks into a situation, he changes the circumstance because of his spoken voice. So when God speaks to the sinner, listen, before God speaks to a sinner, come out of sin, that sinner cannot come out of sin. But when God says, turn and repent from your sin, now by his very word, the circumstance has been created for that sinner to come out of sin. And people say, well, how can God send people to hell? Well, if he calls them by his word, if he speaks the word to them to come out, then the circumstance has been created for them to come out. Faith is presented for them to come out. But if you don't come out now, hey, right? Come on. Where do we see it? All throughout the scriptures. Genesis 19. Now I'm going off. I'm leaving my notes here for a second. We got to go. Genesis 19, God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? He comes down to, now Abraham's sitting in his tent door at the cool of the day just minding his business. And here come three men, it says the Lord and two angels. They walk up to Abraham, and Abraham said, oh, my Lord, stay for a while. Rest yourselves. Let me cook you something. And so the Lord stays, and then the Lord turns to his angels, and he says, shall I declare or shall I show Abraham what it is I'm about to do? Now watch this, you see, because the Lord did all of this. We know now he did it all for Lot because he remembered Abraham and his covenant to Abraham. But the Lord didn't have to do this. But he came down and he said, shall we show this? Because I'm going down to Sodom and Gomorrah to see if it's really like what I'm hearing. I'm going to go down. And so the Lord walks out and Abraham walks out with him. And that's when Abraham began to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He says, Lord, will you destroy the whole city if there are 50 righteous there? And he said, no. How about 50 less 5? Well, he said, I won't destroy for 45. And you know how it goes. On and on and on. But the Lord, noticed that the Lord initiated. He began to speak to Abraham. And now Abraham responds in faith, and he goes to the Lord and intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah, but particularly for Lot, who was living there. And so the Lord gets, Abraham gets down to 10. Abraham stops. Well, I believe if he'd have gone down to 1. I believe. I'm just saying what I believe. This is the Bible. I'm saying I believe that if Abraham said, Lord, if there's one righteous, because there was one righteous there, it was Lot. And so, but Abraham stopped at 10. The Lord went off, and we know he was going to rain down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. But here's the thing. Because of God's covenant with Abraham, God, not because Abraham asked it, because Abraham stopped, but the Lord sent two angels into Sodom, to Lot's house, and said, leave. Now, Lot didn't even know what was going to happen. But when the angels spoke the word of the Lord to them, leave, now they could leave. Why? Because God just spoke. God's going to destroy this city, take everything you have, get out. And now God has spoken, but now man has to respond. See, when God speaks, man has to respond in faith. Why? Because God has now, because he has spoken, now there is faith available for you to respond to him in faith. But we know that there were decisions made, right? Because Lot decided, according to the word of the Lord, go out and don't look back. He made that decision, but somebody in his household did not make that decision. Somebody that heard the same word, right, had the same promise. Leave here, God's going to overthrow the city. But his wife left but turned back. And we know what happened. You see, so when God spoke, he changed the, he gave them opportunity now by faith to come out. Listen, it had to be by faith, because if they didn't believe God, they would have just stayed right there in the city. Just stayed in the city like their son-in-laws did. When he went to them and said, the Lord's going to go through this place, said they laughed him to scorn. Looked at Lot like he was crazy. Get out of here, old man. What's wrong with you? And so they perished in the overthrow. So when God speaks, oh, my Lord. I told you a couple of weeks ago, God spoke a word to me while I was walking in my office. Changed my life. He spoke to me. That thing went on the inside of me and turned. What nobody could turn. What I couldn't even turn. I mean, that thing went all through me. I mean, it was like it created something. And my life was totally changed. I knew it from that moment. I said, my God, what happened? He said, I spoke. I said, oh. See, when he just speaks, he changes things just by a spoken word. And so when the disciples are flailing around in the boat, Jesus, wait, how can you be sleeping? Don't you care that we're perishing? One word, peace. Peace. And everything was calm. One word. Because when he speaks, he changes things. He creates things. So I want to look at, and I've already made this point last week, but I'm going to make it again this week. Hallelujah. How you like that? Amen. Sometimes we need to hear things over and over. You ever been in a situation where somebody's been saying something for quite a long time, and unbeknownst to you, somebody in the room, they haven't heard a word. 6 weeks down the road, they say, oh my goodness, did you hear what he just said? And you look at them and say, he's been saying that for 6 weeks. The teacher been, you've been in class, and the person, that, but the teacher been teaching this for the past 2 months. Where you been? Because some folk, we just don't hear, right? I know I've been there. I want to talk to you about the faith of Gideon. Because the Bible says through faith they did these things. I want to just bring to your attention that, which is very interesting to me, in the New Testament, there's only one New Testament reference to Gideon. The Old Testament has a lot to say about Gideon. in Judges 6 and 7. But one New Testament reference, and it's our text, Hebrews 11:32, that says, time would fail me to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson. Lord knows, wait till we get to Samson. Yes. But it says, time would fail me to tell you about Gideon. This is what I find interesting about the New Testament reference to Gideon. I shared with you last week, and I'm going to share with you again this week, that Gideon was a fearful man. Okay? Now listen. You are looking at a Gideon when you look in the mirror. No. You are looking. No, listen. Now, some of you might not believe this, but I've shared this with you before. My mother used to have us get up and sing in the Baptist church. And when I would get up there and sing with my three sisters, and I am not lying to you, this is what would happen. We would be singing, and my legs would go like this. And I'm singing, and I am so scared to be in front of people. I am literally trembling. I'm shaking. Does anybody identify with that? All right, okay, now, so what I'm saying is, when we look at Gideon, we're looking in the mirror oftentimes. You see, now you wouldn't know that now, because I'm saved now. And when I sing, I'm not singing, I ain't paying no attention to you out here. I'm singing to somebody. I'm lost in my song to him, right? So, and when I speak, it's altogether different now, right? But I'm saying I can identify with Gideon threshing wheat in a wine press because he's so scared. Because if the Midianites find out, they'll come up and they'll burn it or they'll take it or they'll ruin it so that the Israelites will not have anything to eat. And so I went through the time when the Lord spoke to Gideon. I said last week, I'll say it again so that you don't miss it, the Lord was the source of Gideon's faith. The New Testament says nothing about Gideon's fears. It only says this, that Gideon, through faith, accomplished this. Through faith, he accomplished that. Listen, if God did that with Gideon, what do you think he's doing about your life? He's not mentioning all the fears. He's not watching over all the weaknesses. He's saying, through faith, Loretta overcame. Come on, she may have spent some time in a park with nowhere, but it doesn't mention all that. All it mentions is that she overcame because she believed her God, because she believed the word of God to her life, and she overcame, and all of her children are in the kingdom of God. That's coming. Amen. We're praying. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we overcome because of what God is doing in us. And so, it doesn't mention Gideon's weaknesses. I'm going to take you one step farther. It says through faith, Samson. Hold on. One New Testament reference to Samson. But Pastor, you know Samson was. Yeah, he was. But you know what the New Testament, all of what Samson was, but you know what the New Testament says? Now, really, you and I rejoicing in this. Now, you are. Because if we'll all be honest, Samson is in a little bit of all of us. He said, but that was a bad boy. He was messed up. He was morally, yes. But do you want God to talk about all his immorality and all his junk? Or would you rather hear God say, by faith, Samson did this? I think I'll go with the second. I think I'll go with the way the New Testament did it. Because if it ever had came time for him to talk about me, through faith, Lord, just say, Patrick overcame. Yes. Patrick into it. Amen. Patrick did the will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I mean, when you read this, you see yourself. You see God's mercy. You see God's grace. All right. So let me share. I want to focus on, because the Old Testament, remember, the Old Testament was inspired by God just as well as the New. But in the Old Testament was written, Paul tells us why the Old Testament was written, so that we might learn not to do the things that they did. So when it enumerates or lists all these things that Samson did, it's written so that we as people of faith don't give yourself to that, though he did, right? Don't give yourself to that. Don't. We learn. What do we look at? What do we find in Gideon? Gideon was a man who was quite. You'd be surprised how many times fear or being afraid is mentioned in this account of Gideon. So verse 22, Gideon, or excuse me, Judges 6:22 says this. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So when this angel is talking to Gideon, Gideon perceives now that he's the angel of the Lord. Why? Because Gideon brings back his offering, sets it on top of the rock. The angel of the Lord reaches his staff, touches the rock, and fire comes up out of the rock, consumes the sacrifice. And Gideon says, whoo! And then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So when Gideon understood it was the angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O my God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Verse 23 says, Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you, do not fear. Why did God say do not fear? Because Gideon was afraid. He was afraid. Do not fear, you shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. In the place where Gideon thought he would die because he met God, God says, I didn't reveal myself to you to kill you. I revealed myself to you to let you know I am peace. When God comes to you and I, when he speaks to you and I, he reveals himself, he opens himself, he opens up who he is so that we can understand who he is, because Gideon's concept of God was totally messed up. He had some tradition in his mind that when you see God, you'll die. Well, yeah, that is true, but ain't nobody seen God. And you're not going to see him either, right? You may see the angel of the Lord, but you're not going to see him. God told Moses, no man shall see my face and live. And so God was kind enough not to let Moses see his face. And so the Lord said to Gideon, no, I've revealed myself to you not to kill you, but to bring you peace. When the Lord speaks to us, he reveals himself to us. When he speaks to us, he reveals himself to us. That's what this is. The self-revelation of God. And the Word was made flesh. That's why Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father. Made flesh and dwelt among us. Let's learn to treasure the voice of God. Come on. Let's learn to treasure the voice of God. Objective and subjective, both are fine. Just make sure the subjective, if God speaks to you through a prophetic word, just make sure it lines up with the objective word of God. Amen? All right. Because I often think about, you can remember so many times when the Lord spoke to you. I'll never forget, it's just fond memories of my mother when the Lord told her, I've shared this story before, when she was planting some flowers, and the Lord told her, go in the house. And she said, yeah, Lord, these few petunias, when I get them in, I'm going to go on into the house. Lord said, go in the house. And she said, yeah, Lord, but these begonias over here, these marigolds, I'm just going to put those in. The Lord said, go in to the house. You know, when the Lord says, when the Lord speaks to you, he's not speaking to you on his behalf. In other words, he doesn't need to tell you to make himself feel good or to benefit himself in any way. When he speaks to you, it is for our good. Right? And so my mother, like, yeah, Lord. And after the third time, she heard a chain break. And the German Shepherd across, right next door, she looked up, and here he's hoofing it, coming after her. And so now she thinks to herself, it's a good time to go into the house. Problem is, it's a little bit too late, and she gets up to run, no shoes on, and falls up brick steps. And the brick cuts into her legs, and I come home, she's bleeding and carrying on. But then the owner of the dog, they saw it and called the dog off, and the dog went back. And she said, son, what was he said, the Lord was telling me, he was speaking to me. He told me going out, but I just wouldn't listen. I'll never forget that story. Because, you know, the Lord not only speaks to us here, but he speaks to us here. And so let's learn to treasure that still, small voice. Because, you know, the voice is so still and so small, like, you don't have to. I mean, it comes, it is so gentle. It is so kind. You don't have to do what he says. But as I said, he's not saying it for his benefit. He's saying it for yours. Right? He's saying it for our benefit. Okay. Now, I want to jump down to verse, where are we? Oh, verse 25, Judges 6:25. We're still looking at Gideon and his weaknesses, but we're going to look at why and how God was the source of his great faith. It says in verse 25, now it came to pass that the same night, the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that was beside it. You want to know why the children of Israel were being into bondage to the Midianites? Because of that verse of scripture right there. Gideon's father was breaking the first commandment, the second commandment, huh? And how many knows what else commandments? The first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Who is Joash worshiping? Baal. Okay? Baal, however you pronounce it. He's worshiping him. And he has an image, which breaks the second commandment. Thou shalt make no graven images with me. Right? So, the children of Israel are into bondage because of the gods, the false gods that they're worshiping. And there's a spiritual application that extends to us, beloved. If we worship false gods, we will find ourselves in bondage as well. Well, I didn't get too much of an amen, but that's okay. I'm going on. Amen. Verse 26, he says, tear down that image and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. In other words, destroy Baal's image and resurrect God's worship according to pattern. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But listen. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, that he did it by night. So Gideon is over his fear of dying because he saw God, because God spoke peace to him. But he still has another fear. He said, hold on. I'm going to do it, Lord, but I'm so afraid. You know, these big men over here will kill me if they see me tearing down this altar. So that is another fear that he has. Gideon was afraid, but he did what the Lord said to him to do. Okay? Now, so what happens is, the next thing we see is, let me make sure I got it here. So he tears down the image, and it says in verse 33, then all the Midianites and Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. Verse 34 says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And so in a few short verses, we see a man who is so afraid that he's threshing wheat in a wine press. Next thing we see is we see the Spirit of the Lord, because he obeyed God and did what God told him to do. Remember, when God speaks to you, it creates faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So though he was afraid, he still believed God and did what God wanted him to do. So then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him that he blew the trumpet in verse 34, and the Abiezrites gathered behind him, and also the Manassites, the Asherites, those from the tribes of Asher, verse 35, Zebulun, and Naphtali. So Gideon goes from one man scared in a wine press to now the leader of four or five tribes of his fellow countrymen who are going to go up against the Midianites. Why? All because Gideon heard God speak to him. Gideon obeyed what God said to him. The Spirit of God comes upon Gideon. And the Spirit of the Lord calls boldness in Gideon. You know what, when it says that Gideon blew the trumpet, you know what blowing the trumpet means, right? The battle trumpet. When all the Midianites gathered against Israel, there was nobody in those days who would blow the trumpet. Why? Because everyone was afraid. They were under bondage to the Midianites. Gideon, because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, blew the trumpet and said, fellas, rally behind me. You know, when the enemy comes against you, everybody is looking. Watch this. When a 9/11 happened and the enemy flew planes into towers and chaos was going on, everybody's turning around and they're looking for, okay, who is going to lead us in this? Who in my house, who in this country is going to lead us against the enemy? And that's what Israel had, no one in these years until Gideon stood up. The Lord raised up Gideon. And he blew the trumpet and said, boys, follow me. And everybody wants somebody in that day who's going to stand up and say, I'll be counted. Follow me. We're going to get this done. I'm going to lead us. That's what Gideon was doing here. That's why the Lord raised him up. Okay, so I said already that the only New Testament reference we have for Gideon is Hebrews 11:32. God never mentions Gideon's fears, although here in Judges we read all about them. God does speak of his deeds of faith, through faith. The same was said about Samson. Their weaknesses were overcome because of God's work of faith in and through them. Okay? So then the next thing that we see, and a lot of people have taught all kinds of messages on Judges chapter 7, that's when Gideon put out the fleece. Some people say he was so afraid that he had to have reassurance from God. Others were saying was, no, he was just a man who really wanted to be sure that God meant what he said. And so God said to him in the opening verses of chapter 6 last week, you're going to destroy Midian as one man. That's what God said to him. Then God comes to, he said it twice in that passage of scripture. But that wasn't enough for Gideon. So you know what the fleece is, a piece of wool, right? Gideon puts the fleece out. He says, Lord, if you really going to use me, now how many of us have fleeced the Lord before? I mean, don't put your hand up. How many of us have put out the fleece? I mean, come on, because we're not sure. But therein is where we identify with Gideon. This is why, I mean, I love the story of Gideon. So Gideon says, Lord, if you're really going to do what you said you're going to do, make the fleece wet and the ground dry tomorrow morning. And so when Gideon got up, he took the fleece and wrung out a bowl full of water from the fleece. And then he said, that night he said, Lord, please don't be angry with me. So Gideon must have known that something that he was asking for. I mean, God has said it, and what God says is true. He's proved it to you in the first night. God says, please don't be angry with your servant. The second miracle, the second night, was even more of a miracle than the first, because wool, and I clean wool carpet all the time, but the wool, and you has wool fabrics, you know wool is very absorbent, fleece. And if anything, fleece, everything around it can be dry, but fleece will hold any moisture that's there. And so Gideon said, Lord, let the fleece be dry the second night. Let all the ground be wet. And so when he got up, the fleece was dry and the ground was wet. Now, if you'd have had to have, is that enough? Is that enough? I mean, my God. I was saying to myself, I'm thinking, and the other part of me said, don't you dare say that's enough, because you're not Gideon. You're not Gideon, right? You're not going up against these Midianites. So, at any rate, the story goes on. So Gideon fleeces the Lord, but the Lord answers his prayers, right? So then we're going to skip the whole time when the Lord, when Gideon, of all those tribes, 32,000 came together. But let me mention this though. The Lord did say this because of the fear thing that's going through here. The Lord said, you've got too many people, and I shared that with you earlier. The Lord said this. He said, let me test the people. He says, tell the people, anyone who's fearful and afraid, go home. Now, how would you like this if you're a general? You got 32,000 people. You say, anybody afraid, go home. 22,000 people turned around and said, see ya. And they went walking. They were running, getting out of your army. So Gideon is left with 10,000 people. And then the Lord said, that's still too many. That's another sermon. Okay, so Gideon now, the Lord, he's got his 300. He's got his 300, and in Judges chapter 7, verse 9, it says this. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, now the Lord has already told him twice you're going to defeat Midian, given him two miracles with the fleece that you're going to defeat Midian. And then the Lord says to him in verse 9, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. When the Lord said, I have delivered it, in the Hebrew, it means it's already been done. All you got to do is go. But God has already done his part. He says, I have delivered it. He means exactly what he said. I have delivered it into your hand. But look at verse 10. But if you are afraid to go down, look, does the Lord know us? Does the Lord know Gideon? My God, I'm looking at this. Gideon didn't even respond. The Lord said, but if you are afraid, how many of you ever been afraid? Oh, my goodness. I've been afraid. I remember when Pastor Andy, we were meeting in, before we went to Walney Road, we were meeting at the Nazarene Church in Oakton on Vail Road, if some of you will remember. And a renting space from another church, just like we are doing here. And I remember a pastor saying, we're going to go, it was March 1, 1992 was our first day in the Walney Road building. And I remember when we were over in the Oakton building, the pastor said, we're going to go to this building. And he laid out the rent and all that was and all that. And I was like, oh, I don't know how we're going to do that. I just, ooh, wow, for real? And I was just, on the inside, I mean, I wasn't an elder or anything like that. Anyhow, but I just remember him saying that, and I was just so uncertain, and I was literally fearful. I just didn't know. But see, God hadn't spoken to me. God had spoken to Pastor. And where faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when God spoke, the pastor had faith to believe what God said. See? And so I see that now, but I didn't see that then. So God speaks now. He's speaking now again. Listen, he's speaking. This just shows you the grace of the Lord. Because remember what I said, when God speaks, the circumstances are created for you to have faith and walk into what he's spoken to you. No, God will never speak you to do something that he cannot allow you to do. He will always speak to you what he has allowed or brought you into, what you can go into, right? So he says to Gideon, go down, I've given Midian into your hand. But he knows Gideon. We know Gideon. But if you are afraid, go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. The Lord is so merciful. He's given Gideon everything he needs to move Gideon into this work for him. Now, I told you before, I was on the treadmill a couple years ago. That's before I was hitting this butter pecan ice cream real hard like I'm doing now. That's going to stop. But anyhow, I'm on a treadmill, and I'm watching a Christian channel, and there's a pastor on there from North Carolina, and he says, the moment you fear, you tie God's hands, and he can't do anything for you. And I watched that thing move out over that congregation, and the people's eyes, they just were like. And I felt that thing come into my room, and I was like, oh, brother. Oh, brother, no. No, I'm sorry, but that is not biblical. That is not biblical. The moment you fear, you tie God's hands and he can't do anything from you. Give me chapter and verse. Give me multiple places in Old and New Testament where that's true. Because I can give you multiple places in Old and New Testament where it's not true. And here's one of them. Listen, beloved, if you and I can't fear, then let's pack up everything and go home. I mean, if you've never been afraid, even the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul says, I was with you in fear and in much trembling. Paul, I was with you in fear. 2 Corinthians 7 and 5, he said when he was with them, he said outside were conflict, inside were fears. He said, I was afraid. One point he told the Corinthian church, he said, we even despaired of life. He said, all hope that we, when he was shipwrecked, he said, the point came that all hope for them to be saved was gone. Everyone had lost hope. We're going to die. It's over. We're going to die. It's not true, beloved. Because, see, I would be discounted. I wouldn't even be here. No. What God says, you remember Psalms 34 we talked about last week. David said, this poor man cried unto the Lord. This man sought the Lord, and the Lord delivered him from all his fears. God won't stop moving because of fear. He will overcome your fears. This is what he was doing in the life of Gideon. He overcame his fears. He gave special grace. He did special things for Gideon because Gideon was afraid. So Gideon, if you are afraid, go down. But listen at what the remedy was. He says, go down and you're basically going to hear a story. You shall hear what they say. And he goes on, and Gideon, in verse 13, it says, when Gideon had come there, a man was telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. A loaf of barley bread? Now, first of all, it'd be different if it was a stone or a mountain or a rock or something. A loaf of barley bread. Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press. We remember that, right? It was the main source that the Midianites were destroying of the Israelites. They were destroying the ability to provide for themselves to eat. But he says, this loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, into his hand. It's like the Lord gives his enemy a word of knowledge in a dream and gives him interpretation. So, you know, Gideon is getting, listen, instead of God cutting off Gideon because he's afraid, God is going to extra length to bolster Gideon's faith to overcome his fear. So what will God do for you if you ever get afraid in the midst of a trial? He won't leave you alone. He won't cut you off. He'll bolster your faith to overcome your fear so that you can do the will of God. That's what our God will do. That's what he's been doing all throughout our lives. Because none of us have perfect courage. None of us come and just can go without fear. And so this man, his companion, interprets the dream. He says, into Gideon's hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so this is what the enemy is saying about Gideon and the Lord. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. What's so interesting about this is this. God had already told Gideon that I've delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. But Gideon needed to hear somebody down here say it. Gideon needed to hear somebody in the camp of the enemy say it. You know, sometimes God can speak a word to you, but then somebody, a sister or brother, will call you on the phone, or you'll meet somebody and you'll hear them echo the same thing. Or you'll hear, it's almost like a confirmation of word. And it's almost like when you hear that, you're like, oh my God, that's confirmation. God just spoke. And what is that? We find ourselves, we're just like Gideon. And yet we'll open up the scripture and say, well, Gideon needed this, he needed this, and he needed that, and he needed this. And here we are in the same boat. Gideon needed to hear somebody here say it. He needed to hear it said in the camp of the enemy. But, beloved, here's the bottom line. It was still God who said it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when Gideon heard that dream and that interpretation, then he stood up full of boldness, full of encouragement and strength, and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. So the Lord knows where you are. He knows where I am emotionally. He knows exactly what we need, and he knows how to motivate us to get us to do his will, which is good for us. His will, which is good for us. Our Heavenly Father and Lord Jesus Christ, they do not forsake us in our fears, but strengthen us in spite of our fears. Okay? So, God spoke to Gideon through a dream interpretation given to his enemy. Even though God had said the same thing to Gideon, Gideon needed to hear that apparently from the enemy that felt defeat was coming. So after Gideon heard God speak through this dream, his fear was overcome by faith in God's word to him. The source of Gideon's faith was the constant word of God coming to him. The source of Gideon's faith was the constant word of God coming to him. You know, even as we stood here earlier worshiping the Lord in song, when a word of God comes through song and you're singing it, it's ministering faith to your spirit. It's ministering faith to your spirit. You know that line in the song, It Is Well, you know that comes from 2 Kings with the lady who, the widow, who, not the widow, but her son had died, and she ran to go to Elisha. Remember? And Elisha saw her coming. The Lord opened his eyes. He saw her coming, and he sent Gehazi, or his servant, and said, go to her and ask her, is everything all right? And when the servant, though her son was dead, when the servant got to her, he said, is everything okay? She said, all is. She said this, it is well. That's what she said. She said, it is well, even though her son was dead. So when we sing that verse, even though I know those words were inspired to Horatio Spafford when he wrote those words, but they also hearken unto that scripture, bring that word to us, that even though it looks hopeless, we can say, as she said, it is well. It is well. So faith is the gift that is available to man every time God speaks. Every time God speaks, every time God spoke to Gideon, it changed him. It opened up new opportunities so that Gideon could walk in and by faith. And the last time God spoke to him through the dream and the interpretation, it clicked. And Gideon said, that's it. We've got this. Let's go do it. And beloved, there's some things that God has been speaking to you and I for a little while. There's some things that God has been speaking that at times we even been afraid to launch out in, to launch out and do, just like he spoke to Gideon. But you know what? He keeps coming, and he speaks so that we can be endued with faith. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his son. Jesus is the voice of God. He is the word of God made flesh. May we hold fast to every word that he speaks to us and has spoken to us. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word that comes to us today. Thank you, Lord, both for the written Logos, the word of the Lord. Thank you, O God, for the rhema, the spoken word that you speak into our own spirits. And Father, I pray, Lord, that there would come a treasuring where we would so value the word of God. We would so value your voice speaking in our hearts, speaking in our midst, O Lord. And that we would realize, oh God, that when you speak, everything changes. When you speak, circumstances are created and changed, oh God, for our good. When you speak into our hearts and into our lives, it is for our good, oh God, that we, Lord, might be encouraged and strengthened in faith, Lord, to do your will. Lord, be it waiting patiently upon you, being it getting up and exerting ourselves in whatever measure you've called us to. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would value your voice and recognize that you bring change into our lives every time you speak to us. And so, Lord, may this word live in us. May it move. May it be fleshed out by the power of your Holy Spirit. Bless each and every one of your members, each and every one of this house today, Lord, as we go from this place. Bless the food that we're about to receive. Bless our fellowship, Lord, by and through the Spirit, that we would be edified, encouraged, and lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen.